each one who's here today, and thank you that we can come and fellowship as believers. Do pray for these special needs. I do pray for Buddy in this situation, also the other men that were working with him, that if this is something that's continuing on, they might be able to find out what it is and how to resolve that problem. Do pray for Colin and the families that are traveling now. We pray that he would not have any more trouble in breathing as they travel. Give them safety now. And do pray for Joe and his sister at the passing of their mother. Thank you for her wonderful testimony of being a child of God, being faithful to you, and raising her children in church. And for Maurice, now he's had a stroke. Lord, you know his great physical need, his spiritual needs. I pray that you'd work in Maurice's body and his heart, draw him to yourself. Do pray for Diana. She has this appointment with a neurologist that they might be able to figure out why she's still having trouble with her foot and why it's hurting her so much, and find a resolution to that. Do pray for Tina. She just found out she has MS, and as she goes to the doctor and tries to get the right medication, pray that you would guide and direct in all of that. And also for Duncan, as there's an issue with his blood and it's clotting, that again would be resolved as they see a doctor here soon. Think of also Diana Delano with cancer, and her son, 3-year-old son, now just finding out he has leukemia. And my, what a trial. Don't know if these folks are believers or not, but God, we know you've promised that your grace would be enough. And if they're your children, we know you're gonna help them. And Lord, just minister and really strengthen these folks, we pray. And now, Lord, we do ask you to bless as we look at your word. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, by now you should have found 1 Kings 15. If you haven't, just open your Bible anywhere and act like you've got it, okay? Years ago, my dad made a statement that I cannot quote verbatim, but I can give you the gist of the statement. And when he said this, I thought, wow, that is an amazing statement. He said, I have not committed some great sin in my life that will cause God's judgment on my children. Now, he was not saying that I'm perfect, okay? He wasn't saying he didn't have anything wrong in his life. But what he was saying was he realized that his life would have a great influence on his 5 children's lives. And he said, in knowing that, I have tried to live a life that would keep the hand of God's blessing on his children's lives. Talk about influence. Now, I don't care who you are today, every one of you, starting with Larry and going all the way around the room, have influence over someone's life. Now, if you're a parent, obviously, you've got a great influence over your children's lives. You say, well, I don't have any children, or my children are grown. Well, hey, if you're a grandparent, I is one, you have great influence, not only on one generation, but on two. Some of you are great grandparents. Some of you don't have any children, but you go to work somewhere, you have neighbors, you have associates. Folks, we all have influence. And I'm wondering today, yes, I don't know where the offering plates are, Mr. Rush. Where's Lynn's hat? We could pass his hat. No, just kidding. Check back behind the wall here, buddy. They may be there. All of us have influence. As we look at 1 Kings 15, we're going to talk this morning about parental influence specifically. But some of you are saying, well, I'm not a parent. My kids are grown. They're gone. Hey, you know what? Even if your kids are gone, you still have influence. I mean, when your kids are 20, 30, 40 years old, you've taught them things of God all their life, and all of a sudden you kick the traces. What happens to their faith? Yeah, so there's influence all along the way. We're going to see the power of a parent's influence this morning, but really in general, that we all have influence. And we need to examine our influence and see what kind of influence it is. So, 2 main points this morning. Let me read the text. 1 Kings 15, 1 through 8. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. Now, let me stop. Okay, Jeroboam is the king of northern or southern? Northern. He's the first king of the northern tribes. Okay? So here comes along a guy named Abijam. He becomes the king over the two southern tribes, the tribe of Judah. It says, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. So, two major points this morning. Number one, information about influence. Let me just talk to you about influence in general, and then we'll look at the passage. Number one, let me give you some definitions of influence, what it is. Webster said, it's the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion or force or direct exercise of command. Now, you may have gotten lost after an act of power. But let me give you a shorter one. The power or capacity of causing an effect in an indirect or intangible ways. And one more. The capacity or power of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behaviors, opinions of others. Some synonyms. An impact, to impress, to affect, to move. I like this last one. To sway. To sway people the way they act. Now, let me give you some things about influence individually. Those are all general things. And I've already mentioned this in the introduction. But influence is universal. Everybody here is influencing someone. And just stop for a minute. And I want you to think about who that might be in your life. Someone once said, no man is an island. We all affect other people. Now, you help me here for a moment. Who are some people that we as a class or individuals might be influencing?
People in my fan club.
People in your fan club. Both of them, you know. Me, or you may have three, me, myself, and I, right? Yeah, he's got two Twitter followers, so he's moving along. I hope one of those might be your wife. So I'm going to just help you out here and say husband and wife, obviously. Gentlemen, you have a great sway of influence in your wife and vice versa. Okay, what else? Someone's beside Mark. Employees, all right. You guys have a business. You've got some employees. Obviously, great influence. You know, what? When a believer who has a boss acts like an unbeliever and then invites the employees to church, how does that work? You're a crook. I'm not going to your church. Okay, employees. What else? Children. Yeah, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Children. Yeah. Children. What else? Okay, coworkers. Obviously. Your employee, you can, yeah, as an employee, you have influence with the boss, sure. What's that? Church family, sure, okay. Neighbors, yeah, sure, neighbors. You have influence. I know that my neighbor at the end of the road knows everything I do. It's an older lady, it's the mother of the lady who lives there. And he will often stop and say, well, she was asking what you were doing in your garage. And I can just see her at the window. She calls me that little preacher. That little preacher, he's out mowing his lawn, you know. You just never know who's watching. And we had another lady who used to live there. And it really upset them when I built my garage. Because they couldn't tell if I was home anymore. You know? I'm wondering what they were doing when I wasn't home. I don't know. But your neighbors, boy, there's a great influence. When you're a believer and you say you love God and you love your church and they see Sunday morning and your car is sitting there And Sunday night, your car is sitting there. And Wednesday night, your car is sitting there. See, there's influence in all these areas. Co-workers, teachers, students, fellow students. We have some younger folks here that go to school. Fellow students. And, of course, we call that peer pressure and all those things. Other relatives. I mean, it just goes on and on, the people that you influence or maybe impact with your life. And you know, funny, often that impact is unintended. Think about it, it really is. When we were in Denver, we have a condominium in Vail that my mother-in-law has one, and so we were renting one every year, and we said, you know, this is stupid. We could pay for one for what we're renting, so we bought one. So I'm a wealthy condominium owner. Cost me $750. So. So we go up there every year, and we spend time together. And they are professed believers. But whenever we have a meal, I get to pray. Wherever we are, you know, I'm the designated prayer. And it's interesting, my sister-in-law has a grandson. I think he's 5 or 6 or something. And they sat down to eat after we'd been together at Vail, and they didn't pray. And he said, wait a minute, we have to pray. Now, I didn't set out to teach that young boy, before you eat, you need to pray. It was unintended, but he learned it. He learned it. Which is kind of a scary thought, isn't it? I hope all of the influence I had was positive and not negative. You know, your influence, your actions, obviously, are often more powerful than your words. My dad always said, you know what? What you're doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Boy, that's so true in our lives, isn't it? You know, the influence is great power and influence. You have the power to influence people. Think about this, folks, for all eternity. You have that power by the way you live, by what you do. You have the power. And Josh, think about this. You have 3 children, 4 children. Anything else I need to know? 5 children? 4 children. Okay. 4 children. Now think about this. God has given you the right to hold sway and influence in those 4 lives, not just for 60, 70, 80 years, but for all eternity. And that's not just true of Josh and Janelle, that's true of all of us. There are people around every one of us, folks, that you have the power to influence them, not just for 50 or 60 or 70 years, but for eternity. Wow, that makes it pretty important, doesn't it? So, some general things, some information about influence. Second main point, we've only got 2, an illustration of influence. And this is our text, of course. And we see some influences. Did you notice the 2 influences in his life? We could say 3, but 2 of them were the same. As we read the text, did you catch those? Anybody catch them? Anybody who's David? His father. And we can include with that, because it was a negative influence, his mother. Yeah, so we had, poor guy's in trouble. He's got 2 bad ones. But there was a positive one too. We'll talk about that relationship. A guy named David. Okay? So, we're talking about Abijam. Now, it's interesting. You've already met someone named Abijah. If you can remember this, I'll give you $10. Abijah. Have you got it? Do you remember? Different person, same name. Now, it's interesting. Abijam, we also find him in 2 Chronicles 13. And in that chapter, his name is Abijah. We talked about an Abijah in chapter 14. He was the son of Jeroboam. Remember that? He got sick, and she went, disguised herself, went to the prophet. It's interesting, the word Abijah is a worshiper of Jehovah. Abijam means someone by the sea or a seaman. So if you want to just call me Abijam, no, don't, please don't call me Abijam. It's interesting because in 2 Chronicles 13, if you want to study this out, I'm just going to throw it out to you. He is called Abijah, which I think probably was early in his life, and it talks about his battle with Jeroboam and how he leaned on God for help and God gave him the victory. But in this context, we see his overall reign, and he's called Abijam. Is it possible that he had a name change? He was a man, a worshiper of Jehovah, but it's not how it ended. So here's a man who had some very powerful influences in his life. One of those was his father. Who was his father? Rehoboam. It's hard to get those two straight. Rehoboam. And what kind of a man was Rehoboam? Godly man? Well, at the beginning, yes. But as things went along, he established idol worship. He had some real problems. And he didn't do very well. So Rehoboam is his father. Okay, this is where you have to think. Who was his grandfather? Solomon, which would make David his great-grandfather. Okay, you got all that? You with me? All right, so there's the relationships. Now, it says that his father was a man of great iniquity. He had high places. He had idol worship. He had sodomy in the land. And he influenced Abijam in a sinful way. And the text tells us that Abijam followed in his father's footsteps. He walked in all his father's sins. Wow. There's some influence. There's some influence. Now, I do want to mention this because some of you right now may be saying, man, my kid's wicked and it must be all my fault. Well, none of us are perfect parents. We'll all admit to that. But Abijam still had a choice to make, didn't he? Nobody told Abijam, you have to follow your parents' religion. He knew the truth. He'd heard the truth. In fact, it'll be interesting. Next week, we'll look at Asa, a godly king, same heritage, but he chose to do right. Now, obviously, we have an obligation to do all we can to raise our children for the Lord. But they still have a free will and still can choose right or wrong. And here is a man who chose to do wrong. And it says, look, his actions were sinful. Did you see what else was wrong with him? Back in verse 3, he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him. Why? Because his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. So he had a heart problem. And by the way, that's the root cause of our issues here. If you are in sin today or struggling, it's not your circumstances. The problem is the heart. It's always a heart problem. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you talk like you? I love this southern word. Why are you hateful? Isn't that a great word? I did not learn that word till I came to Tennessee. Hateful. Why is that? Well, because of my heritage. No, it's because of your heart. If you have a mouth problem, it's because you have a heart problem. And the same thing is true of our actions. If we're doing things we should not do, it is not because of our circumstances. It's not because of peer pressure. It's because our heart is wrong. And this young man, or this older man, had a real heart problem, and it affected his actions. Now, there's no doubt that his heart was heavily influenced by his father and by his mother. Parental influence is very, very strong, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. It's interesting, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. By the way, Exodus 20, what's the context? 10 Commandments, all right? It says, don't bow down to idols, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. Listen. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Did you get that? We're talking about influence. Now, we're not saying that God will necessarily punish my children because of my sin if they choose to do right. But we are saying that if I sin, there's great influence and great effect. Okay? All you have to do is look at the children of Israel. They were in Babylonian captivity. Many of them, they were there for hundreds of years. Why were they there? Because of their sin? Not necessarily because of their parents' sin. But it had a great effect on them. And boy, I am burdened today for our families. Parents, you have a great influence on your children. No matter what age they are. And I my children are late 20s, early 30s. They're both married, I have grandchildren, all these things. But hallelujah, I still have influence in their lives. And that influence can be good, or very bad. I guess, to be honest with you, that kind of scares me. And I hope it scares me to be righteous. Realizing that my life, I need to do right. Because the influence on my children. I need to do right. So here's a man who was influenced by his parents who were evil, and he too did evil. But there's also another influence, we've already mentioned it, and that is David. Now remember, let's stop for a minute. Rehoboam's his father, he was a wicked man, okay? But it talks about King David, so we got a great-grandfather. And because of his influence, okay, God dealt kindly with Abijam. Isn't that interesting? Did you see it in the text? Look in verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem. What does that mean? Who was the lamp? I don't know. Who is the lamp? Come on. No more food the rest of the year if you can't. Come on, come on. Who? No. Who is the lamp in Jerusalem right in this text? Abijam. You say, wait a minute. He was wicked. He was a sinner. Yeah, now he only ruled 3 years. But God kept him there. Why? Because of the righteousness of his great-great-grandfather. Now, part of that is because David, you remember we studied this probably years ago at this point, remember when David wanted to build a house for God? And God said, no, you're not going to build my house, but I'm going to do what? I'm going to build your house. And you're going to have somebody on the throne. And it's interesting because in the northern tribes, you get different families, everything changes. In the southern tribes, it's always the line of David. Why? Well, one, I mean, David, because of his righteous life, a man after God's own heart, God said, I'm going to keep somebody in your family on the throne. I'm going to build a dynasty for you. So here we are, folks. Here's the great-great-grandfather. We don't have any great-great-grandfathers in here, do we? We have some great, how many great-grandfathers or great-grandmothers? Okay, we got lots of those, but no great-greats. I guess you'd have to be like 110 or something, or get married when you're 11. I don't know. All right, so, but here's a man who's been off the scene for many, many years, and though he did not live a perfect life, and it mentions his great failure with Uriah, the Hittite, he had a great influence now on his great-great-grandson. Wow, isn't that amazing? The influence that he had years and years and years later. Now, someone did a study on two men in the 18th century, and I've seen this before, but I find it fascinating. One of them was Jonathan Edwards. You've heard of Jonathan Edwards, was a great preacher. What's the sermon he preached that's so well known? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He was a president of a college. He was a great educator, great righteous man. And they also followed the life of a man who was living at the same time, a man named Max Jukes. Max Jukes, he was an unbeliever, a heavy drinker. He was not a believer. His wife was not a believer. And they followed these two men's descendants. And I just find this very interesting. It said they looked at Max Jukes, had over 1,000 descendants. Okay, and I think it was in 1870-something, some guy came along and studied his family. And listen to what he found. Six of them were murderers. 76 were convicted criminals. 100 were drunkards. More than 300 died as paupers, poor people, broke. As many as half of the women were prostitutes. And the same guy looked at Jonathan Edwards and his, all the people that came from him at the next generation, and here's what they found. Now listen carefully. 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, more than 100 judges and lawyers, I think lawyers are okay, 60 doctors, 75 military officers, 60 authors, 80 public officials, including 3 senators, and most importantly, 100 pastors and missionaries. What do you call that? Influence. Influence. And every one of us has the power to influence people around us. I hope this won't embarrass them. I just thought of this. I saw the Wampler sitting back here. And all of a sudden she's saying, oh no, what's he going to say? They've started the Jersey Mike's restaurants, as you know. You know why they started those? It was not because they were bored. They started those so their grandchildren would have a place to work and not have bad influence. And that's it. And it gives all their sons and sons-in-law something to do too. so they don't take all your inheritance. That's what it is. Now that moves me. Because you see, they had, how many, you have 5 kids? 4. Okay, I'm having trouble with that today, but anyway. Guessed high on you and low on you, so 4 is the number, isn't it? Okay, I got to remember 4. 4 is the answer. They had great influence, obviously, on their 4 children. And through this, they've had great influence on their grand. Do you have any great-grandchildren working for you yet? Not yet. 5. So he's getting close. Child labor laws. What an influence. What an influence. Several times in the Word of God, Paul says, I want you to be like me. Now, every time I read that, I think, whoa. And I think, what if everybody in the Victory Bible class were on the same spiritual level that I am? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? What if your children grow up to be like you? Will that be a good thing or a bad thing? What if your coworkers work like you work? What if your classmates act like you act? What if your whole neighborhood lives like you live? Now, as I said earlier, folks, you may not know it, but they're watching. They're watching. You're being watched. Especially if you are a vocal believer. I remember years ago, when I was at Bob Jones, I worked at a bicycle shop. It's called The Great Escape. And they're in Greenville, South Carolina. And, of course, most of them were unbelievers. And I tell you what, they watched me like a hawk. And they would try to say things to see how I'd respond. We had a constant battle with the radio. Guy had a radio at the far end of the workshop. I was a bicycle repair guy, and he was on one end, I was the other end. And he'd go out and do something. We'd go over and turn his radio down. He'd come back in, he'd turn his radio back up. I'm not sure if that was a good influence or not. But I tell you, folks, you work in the secular world, they're watching you. They're watching you. And if you tell all these people, oh, I'm a believer, and I go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, they're watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. I already proved that. And I just know the two that confess to it. The whole neighbor, they're all ordering these, they're getting these big long boxes, look like telescopes. I think they're all getting, you know, no, that's not true. Folks, influence. I just want you to think about the influence you have in people's lives today. I want you to think of those that you are influencing right now. Rick, every car you sell, you got to influence those people. Every one of them. Buddy, every place you work, got to influence. Mark, I mean, here's a county commissioner. Influence. David, when you work on people's heat pumps, your coworkers, influence. We all have it. And may the Lord help us to realize it. And may we get serious about this, trying to influence people for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, let's be lights set on a hill. Let's be the salt of the earth. Let's be a godly influence. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for the story today and its illustration. God, help all of us as believers to realize the power of influence that we have. And may you help us to be righteous influences for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have all you folks with us today. Good to have the Pruitts visiting back with us. Donna, good to have you today. Good. And great.